I'm beginning to suspect that C4 was not, in fact, an energy drink, but pre-workout, because I am recording this podcast and I am very jittery and I feel like I might be on a small amount of crack cocaine. You're listening to the Otaku Melancholy Podcast, the anime podcast that's back from vacation all across the nation. Now sit down and listen to this podcast because we got some good vibrations. My name is Matt, and I'm here to talk to you today about nothing really. I know by normal standards that saying I'm here not to talk to you about nothing really is basically just saying what this podcast has been for the past few months. But really and truly, I struggled over my vacation to manifest any sort of energy to watch anime. And I know that that sounds like I'm somehow saying that I don't want to watch anime, but it is literally to the effect of that I had no time to watch anime, and I've been watching almost everything but anime, which is a damn shame because the season ended and there was a lot of good stuff and I want to check it out. But as per usual, I have inherited the will of Audrey, which means that I have definitely just become an actual just seasonal skipper. And I hate that because I keep saying every single time a new season has been opened up for this past year, I say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to watch them. I'm going to give my opinion and it'll be great. And then what ends up happening, I watch two of them and just say, nah, I don't think I can do that. Although this last season was pretty solid, but I just haven't gotten to finish around anything. It's really on me. I just haven't watched anime like I used to. I've been more of the otaku culture side of things of this podcast than anything else. And we're going to talk about that because, for real this week, I have nothing to talk about. I have a bunch of things I experienced that are otaku culture related and a few things that are anime adjacent, but I really just don't have a topic that's really widespread enough to cover an entire episode. For example, news happened this past week about Crunchyroll, you know, closing down Right Stuff in October. At the time of this recording, that's really scarily close and really kind of depressing. There's also the fact that Nippon TV bought Ghibli, and that's nerve-wracking in a way. I don't know. I mean, Miyazaki doesn't seem to care. It's just like, yeah, Ghibli is a name that I got from Airplane. Who gives a single solitary fuck? And then we also have news that broke for me at least an hour or so ago about MAPPA making their animators sign NDAs not to talk about their treatment as it's related to the production of JJK Season 2, which is disheartening because I want MAPPA to be a good company, but we always have to, you know, we gotta repeat it to ourselves 1,000 times that companies aren't your friends. They're just there to entertain you and take your money. But we're going to talk a little bit about that news and all that and about what I've been doing for the past 2 weeks, because I really didn't mean to take a 2-week hiatus, but I guess that's just what's been happening lately. I do like 2 weeks of an episode of podcasting and I take a 2-week hiatus. It's just, you just doing this sucks all the talk out of me, so I have to like recover. But no, I have been on vacation. I'll talk about that for a little bit if you care any. If you don't, then you can skip ahead and I'll just talk about weeb shit and you'll be in weeaboo heaven. So let's just get it out of the way and talk about where I've been for the past 2 weeks in case you care. If you don't care, then hey, like I said, you can skip. So I ended up taking a vacation for about 10, 11 days and I went to Disney World. And I know that, does that sound juvenile? I don't know. Honestly, as a human being, Disney was only important to me when I was a child and a kid, although I did watch their stuff kind of regularly as I became an adult because I'm just a man-child effectively at this point. But I never really took into consideration how big the brand of Disney was to some of my entertainment history. And going to Disney World really highlighted that because I kind of realized that Kid Me was obsessed with Lion King, Kid Me was obsessed with Aladdin and Hercules and The Emperor's New Groove. There was a lot of Disney movies that Kid Me was obsessed with, and a lot of the things that Disney produced that I was hyper-obsessed with, and I kind of forgot about that until we went to Disney, and I was kind of like, oh yeah, Disney did a lot of stuff I really enjoyed as a kid. Like, my Kid Me had a bunch of, like, a lot of Goofy toys, and I took a picture with Goofy, and I was so weirdly happy. But never going to Disney World and doing no research on Disney World outside of the fact that as a kid, I had the lust and avarice to go to Disney World. That's all I knew. I didn't know what was in Disney World. I thought Epcot was a separate park. Like, I thought there was Disney World and there was Epcot. I did not know that Epcot was in Disney World. But I got to see Epcot, and I loved it. I loved everything about this trip. I do not love the fact... I do not love how much it cost. You might as well... They might as well just have Mickey Mouse at the freaking gate saying, like, ho-ho, you want to... Ho-ho, I'll take a kidney off of you. You want to go in the park? Ho-ho! Because that's kind of how pricey it is, really and truly. I mean, I get it. I see the appeal. I went there and I said, oh God, I'm having too much fun. And my biggest fear was that out of it, I would become a Disney adult. You know, a Disney adult. God forbid I be a wee. God forbid I be a Disney adult. But I will just take my weeb title in pride. At least there's a little bit of a... At least I can keep that a little bit to myself, but I know some Disney adults who are just like, yeah, Disney, I'm all about it. And unfortunately, at the end of this trip, I feel like I became like a level one version of it. I was explaining that there's like five versions of Disney adult, and I feel like I've unfortunately reached level one because now I've just been like, I've been consuming more so Disney content than like, again, anime, which is really unfortunate. But I did actually watch this. You know what? I say that, and I just remember that I watched some of the Stitch anime that was produced in Japan just out of curiosity. But that was an actual just hassle and a half to get to. You would think it would be on Disney Plus, but unfortunately they're like, oh, you know, we don't want to share this with you. So I ended up, you know, finding it off a truck and watching it that way. And man, I don't know. I don't know about that Stitch anime. I'm not even like the hugest fan of Lilo and Stitch, so I don't know if I'm really the person to give you a gauge of quality for that show. But yeah, I spent a while at Disney World, and I also went to Universal, but Universal really only has like the Simpsons thing, and that's really like my favorite thing out of it. Although Jurassic Park was pretty cool now, though. I actually read the book and seen the movies, but I had a nice little vacation. I got a good bit of sun. I know I don't really like to profile my appearance or what I look like in any sort of media related to the podcast, mostly due to the fact that I've been told that I have a face fit for radio, so I don't really like to highlight my appearance or anything, but I am normally a very pale man, and now I've got a slight gold to me. One of my coworkers actually said something like, you really brought some magic back with you, the magic being that you could actually tan, and I was like, yeah, I know, right? So here I am. I've gone to Disney World, and it was really cool. Had a lot of fun on it. My favorite ride, I keep trying to like say it wasn't my favorite ride, but it unfortunately was, and that is the Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. It's really kind of a cool ride. I didn't, going into Disney, I was like, there's no roller coasters here. They're mostly all dark coasters, which, you know, you go in a room, you're at a roller coaster. You know, there's a lot of those, but I would always been, because of the area I live in, I'm more familiar with, you know, open air coasters. So I didn't really know what to expect, but Cosmic Rewind is a really cool little cool thing. I love the actual aspects of the line when you get there. I know I'm not saying I love the line, but the fact you get a little movie, you get a little thing going on as you go into the next part of the line. That was I thought that was really cool. And plus this the Cosmic Rewind ride has this thing where it plays one of six songs when you do it. You know, they're all that kind of stuff that Star-Lord, Peter Quill would be into, and on our ride we got September by Earth, Wind & Fire, and it fit really really well with the coaster, and it was a lot of fun. Again, I would like to reiterate that I am only a level one Disney adult, and so much that I have been playing some of the Disney Dreamlight Valley game, and I have been watching the Disney stuff that was kind of peak from my childhood. But outside of that, I don't think I've crossed the threshold into some form of new insanity. But we'll see how it goes. We'll see where it goes. Hopefully it will go nowhere. But that's the big check-in for me as far as what's happened with my life. Since this show is mostly going to be check-in, I figure I shouldn't waste time just checking in on my check-ins. But yeah, as far as just things that have been going on with me in general, it's just been Disney World, Universal, and going home and kind of, you know, getting back into the swing of my life and getting back into the swing of everything else. I've actually, at the time of this recording, I'm coming off of like a day 10 of working in a row. And because I've been trying to just work and work and work and work and work so I can just have, you know, So I can just fix, catch up with what's going on at my job, as well as just make the extra money that I can. And hopefully it'll fix my financial situation, because Jesus Christ, if you take nothing else away from the intro of this podcast, just take away that no matter how expensive that you think Disney World is, it's probably a little bit more. Although I did go during the Food and Wine Festival too, so that sucked up a lot of my money too, and just eating random foods, because hey, that sounds cool, and I don't think I'm ever going to have the opportunity to have that again. But I don't regret it. All the money spent, I had a tremendous amount of fun, and I really loved it, and I really want to go back. So there's that, and hopefully I will go back, but we'll see when we see. But that's gonna basically be it for my life check-ins. Now we're just gonna segue into the check-ins of things I did that I actually know would be considered weeb shit, because that's what this podcast is, isn't it? It's just weeb shit, the podcast. So we're gonna get on that. But after that, we're just gonna take a small little break, or before that, I don't know. Words are hard. Did you know that English isn't my first language? It actually is, but I just need to make sure that I just need some credibility. That way, my bad English doesn't, you know, like, I can just say I'm from Alabama. I'm from Alabama. I don't know no good English. Anyways, let's take a quick little break. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Maddie here to talk to you about Boomslink. Boomslink is an anime lifestyle brand for fans who are looking for things a little different, and they actually mean it. They have phone cases, apparel, and prints with designs that I think are unlike anything that you're actually going to find out there. And I'm saying that as an actual sincere fan and not a, I'm talking about this for a podcast, blah, 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 fake fan. Boomslink and their artist P. Shinobi really bring a lot of style to their gear, and I love just showing off and talking about the merch I've gotten from them. I've bought two of their phone cases for both of my Google Pixels with the Mania and Ashura designs, and I've even gotten their Leo hoodie too. All their products have designs that my anime-loving friends and my non-anime-loving friends really get into, and I think once you see them, then you're gonna feel the same way that I do. So, speaking of feeling the same way I do, I like saving money. And you can save some money by getting 10% off your order with Boomslink by using our coupon code OtakuMelancholyPodcast, all one word, at checkout. Or you can go to boomslink.com/OtakuMelancholyPodcast and have the discount auto-applied in your cart. That's a lot to type out though, so there's also a handy-dandy URL link in the description of whatever platform you're listening to, so you don't have to type in that code or URL, because hey, I care. I hope that you'll check it out and get yourself some great Boomslink stuff, because it helps the podcast out too when you use that code and all. Thank you for listening to this. Let's get back to the episode. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the break, but if you didn't enjoy the break, then you go to patreon.com/otakumelancholy and support us for as little as $3 a month to get bonus episodes, episodes with no breaks, as well as access to a super secret Discord channel with a super secret Discord role. And plus, you get the satisfaction of making sure this podcast lives another day, because at the time of this episode's release, the website's fees will soon be due, and any help would help at this point. But hey, you don't have to. The best help you can do is just listening to this podcast and sharing where you can, if you can. If you don't want to, I understand. It's all what it is to me. But let's go ahead and talk about some weeb stuff, you know? I feel like that's why you're here. You want to talk about some anime, but I haven't seen any anime. So we're going to talk about anime-related things. Mostly manga, visual novels, and a little bit of anime. Just a tiny little bit. Don't get too used to it. This isn't an anime podcast. Why the fuck do you think that? Are you fucking stupid? This isn't a fucking anime podcast. Don't look at the like 200 previous episodes. Those are all just a prologue to this very moment, to this very scene, to this very episode. But the biggest thing that has happened to me as far as otaku culture goes is chapter 236 of Jujutsu Kaisen. No spoilers. I will not be spoiling, so you can go ahead and listen to this free of worry. But I will say that chapter 236 of Jujutsu Kaisen hurt me on an emotional level that I have not felt in a long time, and I hate it, and I hate Akutami. I hate them. They have, like, I am destroyed. I am crushed. I don't know what to do. I am in pain. I am in pain. I honestly tried to think of the last time that a manga chapter really affected me in a degree to where I kind of just had to put the uh, the device I was reading it on and just walk away for a second because I just simply could not fathom what I was reading. And obviously, again, no spoilers, but it was pretty wild. It was a wild ride, and I don't know. I don't know. If you read Jujutsu Kaisen, then you'll understand what I'm saying. And if you haven't read Jujutsu Kaisen, or you don't care, I just want to say that there are certain events when you're reading a story where you know that where things have crossed a line that you're just afraid will never come back. And that kind of is what happened with this week's chapter. But I'm not, as far as what happens in the story, and again, like I said, I'm going to reassure you a billion times, no spoilers. But I just love when stories reach certain apexes to where you kind of have to go, so we are going in a direction that means this is the end. And that's really the vibes I got from this chapter. And I love Endgame vibes, you know, like not like Avengers Endgame vibes, because obviously that's not the end game, since it's like, what, we got like Phase 5 of Marvel or whatever, I don't know. But it's so wild to me that that this thing that I recently became obsessed with is at the point where things are just all happening to affect me on an emotional scale. And I want to sing, maybe I'll do like a spoiler cast and just post this to the Patreon or something so that nobody gets like ruined for them. But I'm just curious if I'm overreacting to the events if I'm valid in my thoughts and feelings on chapter 236 of JJK. I don't know. Hopefully you listener who is caught up will tell me, yes, Matt, you're being very reasonable in reacting to JJK's chapter 236 or not. Or maybe you'll just say, Matt, JJK isn't that great, so why don't you like something better? Either way, I appreciate what you have to say. Maybe not that last thing exactly, but hey, what can you do? What can you do? You know what you could do? You could read some other manga. And I have actually been reading two more manga, actually. One of them is this little thing. It's probably, you've never probably heard of it, but it's I can't remember the name. I think it's something like called One Piece. Yeah, I've been reading a little bit of this underground hit One Piece. Got a bunch of chapters, but I don't think it ever really took off. Yeah, gag, 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 ha, 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 I'm so funny, I've made this joke only like 500 times before. So, hey, yeah, One Piece. I'm actually trying to read One Piece again, mostly due to the fact that I don't know if at the time of this drop that it'll be out, but JD of the Anime Brothers had me on to talk about Dressrosa, which was the last arc or saga, whatever, of One Piece that I finished before I got into Zo and just kind of petered out. But after having this discussion and talk with him, I really wanted to get back in and just dive full into One Piece again. But it's a little bit hard, mostly due to the fact, and I talk about this in the episode, which if it's out, you should go check it out. If it's not out, then don't go check it out. Wait for it to come out and then go check it out. Don't like bang on his door and say, hey, where's the episode? One, that'd be kind of weird. Two, I don't think you're going to do it because like, this is just like, we're just small little people. But still, and I talked about this on his podcast anyways, was that my experience with shows or manga, shonen battle manga, is whenever I read fight scenes, I'm usually hoping that the anime is out and has covered it, because then I can see what the visuals are supposed to be. And that's kind of a struggle of some of the manga that I read, where I see what's going on, but I see what's going on, but I don't know exactly what is going on. Does that make any sense? As much as I've lauded praise to JJK, JJK has some of the weirdest fight transition paneling. You know, I think I've said this before, that Akira Toriyama's Dragon Ball really is just the peak as far as just fights go. And that's not because I'm a huge fan of, like, you know, boom, ki, or anything like that, but Toriyama structures his panels so your eyes always know where to go. And I know I've discussed this previously, but your eyes always know what part of the panel you need to go to, where exactly in the panel you need to go to as far as the order goes. and you can easily understand that. And as far as just stuff like JJK, JJK struggles a little bit on some regards. There's some of those, you know, action scenes where fists are and where fists should be, and they don't really, they don't look great to me. And that's one of the few faults of JJK that I'll openly admit. But One Piece also has similar issues, where One Piece in itself is so zany and so wild that when certain situations and certain fights happen, it's not always 100% clear what exactly the powers being used are, how they're being used. So having the opportunity to, since I'm so far behind, being able to watch a fight and then going to YouTube, typing in whatever fight it was, and seeing it actually done and animated really helps me to sell on how great the manga is. And again, I've said this in the previous, the One Piece live action. I'm a One Piece enjoyer, not a One Piece fan. But those moments where the story gets really just lighthearted and fun, and the fights kind of go into new directions that I wasn't planning, I really like that, and it really sells me on One Piece as a whole. But overall, I'm not as into it as I want to be. I feel like part of this, and this isn't, as much as I will slam dunk and talk shit about One Piece fans, if they're happy and you're enjoying it to that degree, then all the more the power to them. But One Piece fans also put me off on One Piece, because I've never reached that level of obsession with it, and I don't fully comprehend where they're coming from. But that's true with me and about everything. It's not like I've ever understood why people are so obsessed with Grey's Anatomy or ER. I just understand that something that they enjoy and I don't. So One Piece fans kind of just put me off of One Piece, if that makes any sense. But it's not to any degree. If they're passionate about something, I don't have any fault with that. It's just when you're fault about like creepy shit, like, you know, like like lollies and all that. That's a little bit too much for Matt. But I digress. So One Piece, I've been reading back into it. And Zoe is, how do I say, why the bunny Carrot, why would you do this to me? Why would you make me feel these things, Mr. Oda? Why would you do this? If you don't know, there's a bunny, and the bunny. Don't need to go, but hey, I'm in Zoe. Maybe eventually I'll get the whole cake and I'll be caught up on One Piece, and then I can join the cool kids table where they talk about the latest One Piece chapter and hang out. Maybe someday that'll be me. It won't be any day soon, but hopefully it'll be a day that is sometime within the next few or 6 to 7 years. But speaking of something that would have taken me normally 6 or 7 years to get through, I would also like to talk about this other manga that I've been reading that I never would have picked up have it not been just for someone posting memes on Twitter, still not calling it X, by the way, and that is The 100 Girlfriends Who Really, 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 Really Love You. And now, that just seemed like, I got kind of burned on a harem romance manga in the past, the biggest culprit, of course, being Girlfriend, Girlfriend. I saw the premise of Girlfriend, Girlfriend, and I said, oh, I bet that's going to be a ridiculous thing. And then I read it and I said, oh, this is just playing it. This is, I don't even know what this is. And so I just kind of said, well, you know, I'm not really that much into harem shtick anyways. So I guess I'll just leave it be. But the memes I saw for The 100 Girlfriends Who Really, 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 Really Love You made me go, yeah, I guess I'll give this a shot. And I'm glad I did, because this manga, and I don't know if you've read it, it's having an anime adaptation pretty soon. That's what I'm mildly hyped for. I don't really know if the jokes will translate. I just don't know. But I don't know if they'll translate well, but I was pretty impressed by the humor of, I'm just going to call it 100 Girlfriends, and that'll be just simple enough to make this work. But 100 Girlfriends, I was really thinking it was just going to be just straight up just harem trash. And it was just going to be, but there's 100 girlfriends. How wild is this? And I guess it kind of is like that, but it kind of plays a little, not, it doesn't like play it up to the degrees that this anime does, but it gives me the World God Only Knows vibes in a way. Not to the same degree that this guy is just, you know, knows how to get girlfriends or anything, but it kind of feels similar in a way, if you know what I mean. I can't remember any characters' names because I kind of binge read it in like moments of slowness during my vacation. But I was thoroughly impressed with this manga and just how much it made me kind of laugh. Like, don't get me wrong, there's different degrees of laughter. I feel like you have laugh out loud funny and you have smile funny. And consistent smile funny, I feel like, is better than just, you know, two or three laughs that you get through, big laughs that you get throughout an entire thing. Because this manga really did manage to make me just smile, and also kind of just, I feel like eventually we're going to get to the point where deconstructions are just so prevalent that everything's going to be somehow a deconstruction or a reconstruction of a deconstruction manga. And this one kind of leans into being a deconstruction in a way, but not to the overt point where it's sort of eye-rolling at the genre in a way, you know what I mean? You know, there's certain stories that exist to just mock tropes, but they do it in such a flat, just eye roll. Can you believe that people like this way, like this thing, that it just kind of just, it feels a little bit weird. Do you know what I mean? And 100 Girlfriends never really veers hard into that, I would say. And it's a fun read. I really recommend you check it out. Normally, you know, we are all about supporting, you know, give a little bit of support to creators, but I would sample this first. Because maybe if you're like me and you're kind of on the fence about harem trash and you don't know exactly where you stand as far as is this something I can enjoy or not, then maybe just sample a little bit. Just sample a little bit. Just give it a little bit, a little taste, and see if it fits your Flanders. I don't know. And then maybe you'll get the same joy out of it as me. I don't know, but I think it's worth a shot. That's 100 girlfriends who really, 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 really love you. It's five? Is it five release? I feel like it's five release. If I'm wrong, I'm not going to look it up anyway, so, you know, whatever. But go check that out. That's been, should have been the manga I've been reading. I've also been reading on the course of my vacation. I read a light novel, and I've also been playing the same visual novels, although I've added one to my list. And I know some of you may be going like, well, I don't want to read unless it's subtitles. But hey, reading's pretty cool. Trust me. I know, I've read things before, I've read a couple of things before, but I would like to talk about a few of the things I read on this trip. I say a few, it's not really a few, it's more like four, and I haven't finished three of them. But, just going off, the light novel that I did get a chance to read on the flight, sort of, I read half of it on the flight to Orlando, and then I read the other half just sparingly throughout my day whenever I'd get in the line or whatever. I'd read a few pages, and hey, I put the light in light novel because that was some really light reading. But the one I'm talking about, I'm dancing around the light novel that I'm talking about, is Tear Moon Empire. And Tear Moon Empire, I know there's been kind of this, it's not really a strange sort of new fusion of it's not really even a fusion, but there's been recently this trend of isekais this isn't even related. I don't know why I wanted to sort of bridge the gap of discussion with this with Tear Moon Empire, because Tear Moon Empire is basically this entitled princess gets her empire gets overthrown, and she is sent to the gallows, and she gets killed, and as she gets killed, she gets sent back to when she's basically like 11, and she has to kind of figure out how to fix the situation she's in. And, you know, just basically figure out how not to die. And that is kind of a trend in these isekai stories, really and truly, is I died, now I need to figure out how not to do that. But Tear Moon Empire kind of does a little bit of the things that I like from Slime. Now, I like Slime for the characters, but what I really like Slime is for some of the infrastructure and the actual building of the town of Tempest. And Tear Moon Empire is kind of akin to that in a lot of ways. It is still character driven, and there's a lot of there's sort of that pacing issues that I was having with it, where you ever just like have characters who take forever to realize that they're dying and coming back to life. For example, at one point I did think I was actually going to read ReZero, the light novel, because people online were saying read the light novel if you can't get into the anime, and it wasn't that I couldn't get in the anime. It's just that at the time I was an elitist prick to the umpth degree that said that if an anime is popular, it probably is trash. So I figured I would read the light novel. And there was such a long time for Subaru to realize that he got reset, and he was just, how did this happen? He just straight up Tim Allen'd it and was just going, And that was mildly infuriating because, believe me right now, if somebody just barged in this room and shot me in the head and I was like, I was back at 20 minutes ago when I was staring at my computer going, how do I talk about this stuff on a podcast? I would be like, well, hey, I'm back in where I was and my drink has been, there's still drink in my drink and it's not empty. I would say, ah, so I've been reset. I should probably figure something out about that. Well, I say that, but I'm probably, I don't know. I do know. I'm smart enough to have figured that out quickly, to a quicker degree than Subaru or the girl from Tear Moon Empire. I need to look up her name. I read it a billion times, but still my mind was like, yeah, that's not essential information. Let's get rid of that. And it was Mia, by the way. I just said I had to pause the record because I was like, I need to stop calling them the girl and being vague. It's Mia. It was Mia. I don't know how I forget a name like Mia. It's not like that's like this story takes place in what is supposed to be a Western sort of empire. And I honestly, I love the name Tear Moon Empire. Sounds really, you know, kind of bad. It sounds mildly badass, if I'm being quite honest. And apparently the anime adaptation is coming out in October. I didn't know about that. That's pretty cool. Really, I was excited about this. I would like, a mild thanks should go to the Light Novel Podcast. I don't know if you listen to that. You're probably, if you're listening to this, you probably, right now, you probably aren't because they've stopped making new episodes, but they were great. They talked about this book series a lot, and I have a lot of books I picked up just because the Light Novel Podcast talked about them. If you're into, even though they're done, I still think they're warranted. They're warranted a checkout because they still had good recommendations and solid discussions. I hate that they had to go. You ever just listen to a podcast that suddenly ended and go, man, I wish that thing still existed? That's how I feel about the Light Novel Podcast. And I sent Justice R. Stone some fan mail, but he never responded to it. That's fine, Justice. I get it. I'm not worth it. Nah, Justice, you're probably very busy. I know you're a busy guy. But anyways, so Tear Moon Empire, I finished throughout my vacation. And I'm very excited now that I know the anime adaptation is coming out. But, you know, it's that typical plot. It kind of has that fusion of, a little bit of the fusion of ReZero mixed with the buildup of, or the world building sort of environment that comes with Slime. That said, to its degree, I feel like because it's dealing with a younger character who is not especially bright, that could be infuriating to you, because I was kind of mildly irked by Mia as a character and her just kind of mild stupidity, if that makes any sense. You ever just read a character who is supposed to be stupid and your brain is going, yes, I get it, they're stupid. And this character kind of knows they're stupid, and it's just reiterated that, yes, I know they're stupid, and they're just, it's just taking them a minute to get things. Like, it's a little bit infuriating in that regard. But overall, it's a light novel, so it's, you know, you can read like a few pages. You can read like a few pages, and it'll be like five chapters. It's really, I feel like light novels, you know, for all the, I don't want to say negative criticism they get. I feel like they're, if you just put them on your phone, which is kind of what I do lately, is just download them from like Bookwalker or something. No, this isn't a Bookwalker promo, but if I just download them on Bookwalker or Google Books and read them like casually when I'm waiting for something, or if I'm just bored on the couch and I read a few chapters, it really helps instead of just carrying around a book. But still, they look nice on a shelf. So what I'm talking about, I love me a good full library. But Tear Moon Empire, I do recommend if you just kind of want a fun little read. It's got 14 volumes out right now, so obviously it's doing that light novel thing where the story keeps going on and on and on, and it goes on and on and on. But it is still a fairly fun read, and it gives me almost a little bit of like light villainous vibes, you know, Katarina, Bacarina vibes. I like it, which is that's a peak light novel right there. I don't care who you are. I will take no arguments on that discussion, but that's light novels. And let's talk about a different type of novel, those of the visual variety. As you may or may not know, if you've listened to the last episode, which came out 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry, that I have been really in a big visual novel kick, thanks to trying to clear out my YouTube subscriptions and stumbling across the August Tale, who covers visual novels. Really a really cool guy. Not that I've met him, but I hope he seems fairly cool. But anyway, so I watched his videos to kind of get rekindle my enjoyment of his channel. And I was going through some of his videos, and he talked about King Koi and Maji Koi. And I had won, and this is my mild little flex for this episode. I had won the collector's edition of Maji Koi from Awa. in 2022 due to a trivia question they asked. And I got it right, so I got to get a collector's edition of Magikoi. And it lingered on my shelf because I was scared to open it up and look at the contents. But I did end up adding, for at least adding the Steam code that was in there to my library, and I never got around to playing it. But I got back into the August Tale and listening to the reviews and discussions and all that, and I said, okay, I'll get back into reading visual novels, playing visual novels. So we went on this trip, and I brought my Steam Deck along because it's just my Steam Deck, and I like to play games on it just for the fact that I get to basically pretend it's a Switch, except it's a Switch with all of an hour battery life. But hey, I get to play Baldur's Gate on it, and the plan was to play Baldur's Gate, but I cannot play Baldur's Gate with a controller. I don't know how people do it. It just doesn't feel good to me. It just doesn't feel good after all the pointing and clicking. So I said, I'll just play visual novels, you know, get my read on. And so obviously I installed King Koi and Magikoi. And on the flight up there, I was reading I was reading Magikoi. And Magikoi is not a dating simulator as much as it's a friendship simulator, where you just got friends and you hang out and you vibe, and it's just fun. And there are some anime girls there too, but who really cares? That's kind of how I feel about it. I'm like, these girls are all great, but I really want to hang out with my bros instead. So we got on the flight, and I'm playing Magikoi because King Koi has this tendency to randomly have pseudo ecchi stuff follow up, so I thought Magikoi would be safe. Magikoi was not. There was a random shower scene that out of nowhere, I just got like anime boobies in my face. And at the time, I was seated in between two people who I didn't know. So the moment I saw like the hint of a nipple, I like almost threw my Steam Deck to the ground in this plane, because there was a guy sitting to my left who was reading a book and who was being very conversational and had a lot. He seemed like a swell guy. In fact, he called the Steam Deck a Switch on steroids, and I thought he was nice. I hope he's doing well wherever he went. So we obviously talked about this. And I did not want this man to think that I was just looking at Japanese porn on the plane. So the moment those nipples appeared, I was like, oh, here you go, into the ground, Steam Deck. And it was really awkward. I had to act like, I got a little bit of that fumble energy. You know how it goes. And guy's still reading his book on like how to be a great business entrepreneur. And now I'm over there looking at anime titties. So I felt a little bit like my success had already, there was no success for me at that point. Guy on my right actually was just ignoring the window. I don't know how to describe it, but he was just, the window was open and he was just trying to look everywhere but the window. And it's just, hey dude, you can just turn the window down. But I'm not here to judge that man. I hope he's doing all right too. He got off in Atlanta. Maybe he's doing Atlanta things or something. So I played Magikoi and King Koi over my vacation, and I don't regret it, but I did get kind of, once my full-on Disney adult fever kind of hit a pitch, and I started playing Dreamlight Valley more, because it was just Animal Crossing, with Disney characters, then I kind of just lost my vibes for Magikoi and King Koi, but I do recommend them, not oddly enough, but if you have to pick one, I would probably say Magikoi. There's just a whole lot more fun in Magikoi. Not to say that King Koi doesn't have a lot of fun. It does have Reina in it, one of the selectable, you know, waifu characters. Not really waifu, but routes. And she's just so perfect. She's just a little perfect ball of joy to read and become friends with, and then other stuff happens. But if you know, you know. And if you're hearing me talk about like visual novels, and you know what I know, and you know that we know that I know, you know what I know. So I would give those a recommendation, and I would play them if I were you, unless of course you're just feeling like you don't want to sink 80 hours into a game, because I don't know how long King Koi is, but people online are telling me that Magikoi is like, it's like longer than like three Bibles stapled to the Lord of the Rings. Nobody's actually said that to me, but for the sake of making myself seem particularly intelligent, like I have friends who talk to me about visual novels, and then this, they definitely did say that. You can't prove me otherwise. So that's been I got to read those, and I didn't finish them, obviously, because they're longer than, you know, like I said, the Bible stapled to a copy of all three Lord of the Rings books. But I did play this other one, and it was mostly just, Like, you ever just make a bad decision or a decision and it's just 200% motivated by your penis? Well, that's kind of what happened when I decided that I was going to purchase and play Kimagure Temptation, which, just judging by what it looks like on Steam, I thought, I didn't even, like, look into the actual synopsis because I just saw that August Tale was just going, hey, here's a game, you should play it. And I looked at that and I said, that looks like it's up my vibe. It has a pink-haired succubus-looking character. I will give it a shot. And then it turned out to be like a pseudo-horror mystery. And it does not look like it's going to be that. Not by any stretch of the imagination. If you look at its Steam page, I mean, it looks like... I just have to rub the back of my neck. Like, it looks like it's something else, but then it's actually got a weird plot about, not even a weird plot, but a plot about demons and about diviners. It's really engaging and an interesting read, but it's shorter than those other two, and it's got big-haired pink anime boobs, so you get what you get, and it doesn't shy away from that, at least, and it was a fun read. It was a fun read, and the actual mystery and suspense story that was there just shocked me. Because, like I said, you look at it and you think, oh, it's anime big titty time. And then the games, and even the logo just looks like, what are you here for? Cute demon girls, enjoy. And then you get some wild wacky mystery action bullshit. Except you kind of have to install the patch if you get it off Steam, or you could just get it from a good retailer who will have the things already on it, and you can enjoy it that way. If you know, you know. You can find those wherever you want to find them. But it was fun. It was a fun read. That's the other thing I kind of spent on my last day of just trying to relax and recover. I ended up reading that, and it was a weird highlight of my vacation. Like, I say a weird highlight. It's not really a highlight compared to going to a theme park and meeting the Goofy. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, finding a quarter on the ground and, you know, needing a drink that's a quarter. It's not a quarter anymore because of the economy. Thanks, Obama. But that's a joke. That's a joke. Just need to clarify that. But it was still a pretty fun read. And I guess that's really all I have to talk about outside of just watch Goof Troop. I've been watching Goof Troop and I was just shocked by how pretty it looks and how fun that is to watch. I'm really sorry that I don't have like lined up to make actual good content this week. Not that there's any good thing about this content that I make, but I want to get back in the swing of making the podcast more regularly. This is kind of just a step in that direction of making it more regularly. I have a lot of things that I want to talk about, and I would like to share that we will be having that Audrey will be coming back for some episodes in the future. So if you're kind of just sitting around going, I don't know if I even want to listen to Matt talking more, hey, we'll be back the way it was soon enough, for a little bit at least, and then you can enjoy that. So right now you just have to suffer through these mediocre ramblings about like big boob pink-haired demon girls in visual novels, while you, an anime enjoyer, probably like, unless it gets an anime adaptation, you can get that away from me like with a 10-foot pole, Matt. But hopefully it's at least something for you to listen to on your commute or something. And I don't know, I would have liked to highlight the news more, but I really feel like, as far as the news as it concerns with Crunchyroll closing right stuff and Nippon Tea by Ghibli and MAPPA and that thing, it's just me getting mad. I really don't like Crunchyroll, and I love Right Stuff. Right Stuff is why I have just a closet full of manga and light novels I haven't read, because they constantly have sales and constantly they always made it easy to get these things compared to like Amazon or anything else. I mean, it was so easy just to put them in your cart and just get them. And Crunchyroll kind of collapsing them into their own storefront really makes me mad, because Right Stuff is such a legacy at this point. Why would you close a legacy for the sake of your own store having a brand? And it's just so ridiculous to me. It's so ridiculous to me. And I am a cynic, and I'm very jaded about whatever Crunchyroll wants to say. Like, we'll be offering Right Stuff slow prices for sureies, guys. I don't know. Will you? I've seen people online on Twitter saying, yes, they will, and showing proof. But I just don't. Should you trust them, really? Should you trust Crunchyroll, which was already kind of built on taking others' work and using it for themselves. They're taking Right Stuff's, you know, network and using it for themselves. And I just think they should have just kept Right Stuff the way it is. And that's going to be a little bit of me being my own little Crunchyroll hating self. But I don't know. I don't know. I just kind of hate that. And it just makes me madder and madder the more I think about it. But it is on my end about how much I do love Right Stuff and everything they have done. But I don't know. I also, like I said, I don't like Crunchyroll. And Crunchyroll could literally cure my cancer. And I would still be mad at Crunchyroll for existing and doing something like that. So, shrug, shrug, I don't know. Hopefully, you know. The one thing you do know is that this has been the Otaku Melancholy Podcast, signing off for another week. I'm glad we got to talk and hang out. Hopefully next week we'll have more fun things to talk about, or at least an anime or something. I'm sorry for this episode of Oops, All Updates. I know as a former podcast listener myself that it's not always, that you don't always care about what your hosts are doing, because sometimes they're really boring people. Not any podcasts I listen to, they're all fascinating and interesting, but comparatively, all I've done is gone to Disney World and played visual novels and read manga and light novels. I don't think it's particularly interesting, but regardless, I appreciate you coming to hang out and check this episode out. That does mean a whole lot. Thank you so much for doing it. I hope I'll see you next week, but if I don't, then hey, you know, it was cool to have you for this week. But thank you regardless for listening to this episode. I'll see you. Bye bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Otaku Melancholy Podcast. You can go to our website at otakumelancholy.com to see the links to all our episodes, past, present, and future, as well as all our social media, like for Twitter, I'm not calling it X, Facebook, and Instagram. Our opening and ending music is Koishi by Deoxys Beat, with additional sounds added by me. And our podcast artwork is by Sinful Scientist. If you want to go the extra mile and help power this podcast, you can go to patreon.com/otakumelancholy and support us for as little as $3 a month to get ad-free episodes, bonus content, a super secret Discord channel and role, and your name shouted out at the end of every episode, like these fine folk here. I'd like to thank Anime of the Week, Chris S., Cream Puff Goon, Darth Egg, Earthworm the Anime Brother, IKEA Plant, Jalvin, and Steered Marlin for being our patrons and giving power to the pod. I've been Maddie, signing off for another week. Thank you for listening. Gambate.